Isn't it a joy to hear those kiddos yelling down there?
I absolutely love it. I love it. I want you to listen to a scripture as I begin this morning. Can you guys hear me without the mic? We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Many of you know this story, but I want you to listen to it as if you do not. It says that night. Can you say that night? Can I tell you that that night is going to come in your life when you don't know that night's going to come? You're going to be doing the same crap. Can you say crap? That you always do. You're going to be cooking the same food, paying the same bills, sleeping next to the same person. Amen, Dad? He's not here. He would have amen that, people. Jerry Jr., also named Biff. Amen? Amen. That night, some shepherds were in their fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Can you say guarding? They're guarding what's important to them. What they thought was most important was sheep. I don't know what you think is most important in your life. It's probably not sheep. But for some of us, it's sports. For some of us, it's food. For some of us, it's whatever it is that makes us feel good. Did you hear what the kids said was their first definition of joy? Happiness. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Amen? Happiness is what made me feel good every Tuesday, Mom, when I could go and buy a new video game. Happiness is what makes me temporarily feel good when I could find my cell phone so I could run the screen. That would make me happy. Happiness is actually when things make you temporarily feel good. Amen? Happiness is realizing that I put my phone right over here so we're golden. You know what happiness isn't, you guys? Happiness is not this. I bought this phone and I was so happy with it when it was new. But then I got home and I went to my brother's house and he had a newer phone than I did and I just bought it yesterday. If by just the passing of time your happiness depreciates, that's not joy. Amen? That's not joy. If I'm happy when I hit 7 out of 8 three-pointers, but when I'm 0 and score 20 points in a JV game, amen? But the next game, you try just as hard, but you can't hit a shot, and you're less happy, that's not joy. That's happiness. See, many of us look like that. We're not happy. Things make us happy temporarily, but this is what we look like in the long run. Is this you? Can you say that with me? Is this you? Is that you? Because listen to how this story. So the shepherds were out that night and they were guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly, can you say suddenly? You guys, your night, your that night, your last 10 years, your last 15 years, the person you've been with, that can change in an instant, can it, Earl? There's a suddenly in life. And suddenlies are not always great. Sometimes they scare us. Listen to what this says. Suddenly, an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord, but they were badly frightened. Can you say frightened? Every time I read about angels in the Bible, the angels' first thing they say is, don't be frightened. It sounds like a horrible blind date. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them. And the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. The most joyful news. that the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah has been born tonight in Bethlehem, how will you recognize Him? The most joyful news ever has just happened. And the angel says, how will you recognize Him? And I'm asking you this morning, I'm asking this side today, how do you recognize joy? What makes you happy? When all your bills are paid, are you happy? Raise your hand. Are you? I am. Thanks, Mom. But are you joyful about that? When your kids score a hoop, are you happy or are you joyful? How do you recognize what brings you joy? Do you know what the angel said? The angel said that you will recognize joy because joy is going to be a baby in a hayfield manger, lying in a stable out in the country. That may not look like joy, and I don't know, maybe your joy doesn't exactly look like that, but that's what happens a lot of times. And I want you to realize something today. I want you to realize something. There's three quick things if you want to recognize joy. How can you find true joy? Number one, you can abide in Him. Can you say abide in Him? Abide, abide in Him. Listen to this. I was searching through the Scriptures. And Jesus Christ said, if you want real joy, if you want happiness in your life, but a happiness that you don't really, it's not your kind of happiness, it's a real joy, you have to abide in Me like I abide in you. You have to realize that God lives with you everywhere. He's not someone that you have to chase. Can you say amen to that? Because if you're like me, we go and chase down God when we need Him. When I fail, when I'm hurt, when I'm broke, when I'm at rock bottom, then I say, God, I need You. And God is saying, He's with you right now. All of you people, all of me, every pew in here, you're all screwed up like I am. Amen? You are. You are great people. You have so many strengths. But sometimes our number one weakness is we can't admit we are a screwed up shell of a man. Amen, Frank? Amen. Mom, we don't have to chase God. He's with us. Beth Robertson went to this church for so many years. We had her funeral on Friday. And she wrote a story that they found in the Bible after she had passed. And it had snowed so much, Biff, you'd still be out on the sidewalk. The snow was higher than a car. It was in 1948, and Beth Robertson lived out by the Guard Camp Road. And her dad said, we've got it, before this gets too bad, we need to get you into town, and we need to get you to our aunt, your aunt's, so that maybe you could get to school when the town is all plowed, because we won't be out yet. And he did that. But Beth got sick. She got sick. She didn't get to go to school, even though the town was all plowed. Her family, her mom and dad, were still snowed in. One morning, Beth was still sick, and her uncle and aunt had left the house. And the uncle came back later, and Beth was laying in the doorstep, unconscious. And they rushed her to the hospital, and she said, and when she was writing, she said, I thought I was in heaven because I woke up and there's all these bright lights and people were wearing white. All the nurses and doctors were wearing white. I was like, I've made it home. I'm in heaven. And they're like, no, you're at the hospital. And Beth went on to write, and then they found out that there was so much snow. There was so much snow that had went down the chimney that it had kind of packed it. And even though the smoke didn't come, they had been gassed out. They had been suffocated. But she said God was always with them. They cleared the Guard Camp Road earlier on a morning than they were supposed to. And her dad said, you know what, I'm going to go to town just so that I can see how Beth is and bring her home. And he decided to go early. And the town roads were plowed at the right time, and they were able to get her to the right hospital at the right time. And we are full of a church that even though you got a lot of stuff going on, things happen at the right time because you abide in God and He abides in you. When things aren't going well, it doesn't mean He's not with you. It means He's with you in the crap. Amen? Frank, we got you to the hospital to see the right surgeons at the right time. Kelly, you did that. But I say, God did that. Earl, you were heading north. You were heading north. You were heading out of state. You were going up to the border of South Dakota when Stormy, you had taken her in, and they told you everything was going to be fine. And then you made a decision without getting any call from the hospital because of how the weather was, that I'm turning this around. And you got to be with your wife. Before she passed, you got to tell her God was with you. God is in your thunderstorms. He is in your blizzards. He is in your bad relationships. He's in your addictions. But you have to start abiding in Him even when things aren't well, and not just chasing Him when things aren't going well. Amen? Secondly, you have to abide in His... You have to abide in His Word. I'm going to give you an instance of this, because we abide in a lot of words. We abide in a lot of words. I want you to fill in the blanks that my mom is going to leave here. Mom, will you kick off a song here?
Well, it's going to be easier because they sang.
That's fine. Here we go. Ha ha ha! That was fantastic! Give me another one. They know that one. How about "We Wish You"? One more. You got one more? You got one? They're so good. You got one more? As she's picking out a harder one, I'm driving my daughter in to watch an 8 o'clock basketball game this morning. And she tells me to turn it to 94.1. You know what's not on 94.1? Christmas carols. Selah knew every word, babe. She knew words that I haven't even taught her, and you probably haven't even said, even when I'm not home. But she's abiding in a word. She knew the words. Mom, give us one more. Awesome. Stop. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And I'm taking a couple people out of here. Liz and Virginia, this whole row, you're out. You're too good at the Bible. You can't answer. The Lord is my shepherd, I have. Exactly. Exactly. Mom, one more song. One more time. We wish you. One more time. One more time. Hit us with it. Stop! That's a bad example. No one knows that. Hey, what's that one commercial? We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum. We know that, don't we? Pickles. So we do know how to abide. We do know how to abide in some words, don't we? And guys, it's not just because I'm making a joke of it. It's not just because we hear them every year. You know what else you hear every year? A pastor read this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in. He leads me beside. He restores my. He guides me in paths of. For His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of. I will fear, for You are, Your rod and Your staff, they, what's the next line? Good, 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 good. Stop. That was an easy one. John 3:16, for God so loved the, that He gave His one and only, that, what? There was a Samaritan woman who said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And Jesus said to her, You know why I bring this up? I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be abiding Him and abiding in His Word. If you put me to the test, Judy McReynolds, Liz, Virginia, Judy, Linda, Amy, Doug, all of you guys could probably beat me in Bible trivia. Honestly. And it was embarrassing. I was trying to do some memory things. It's embarrassing. How much am I abiding in His Word? Yet if I drive into Lincoln with my dad and have classic rock on, I can sing all the Herman's Hermit songs. I can sing all the Beatles classics. I love Styx. But what's the second verse of Silent Night? Was I mumbling that without the words up there? Whose Word are you abiding in, guys? If you're like me, we got to get more in His Word. I'm not asking you to memorize stuff, but some of you in this church, remember when we came into this church and kids memorized Scripture, amen? Virginia, there was a Scripture of the day. We memorized it. I had someone say, well, I am so into prayer. I am so into His Word. I pray 5 hours a day. I never prayed 5 hours a day. But can I tell you, there's not an hour that goes by that I don't pray. People think I'm a lunatic. People think I'm crazy. People think, oh, well, Frank, be quiet, because you know I am. I talk to myself all the time. I'm like, how should I answer this person? Should I call this person back and tell them no because we got bad news? Or should I tell them, how should I say a prayer at someone's bedside who's dying? I don't know. Should I tell this person off right now or not? God, I need your help on this. We need to abide in His Word all of the time. Amen? Last thing, finally. What's the three words say up here? Look beyond today. Look beyond today. One more time. What's the three words? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. He was willing. Can you say willing? To die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy. Can you say joy? That was going to be His beyond today. See that cross up there, you guys? Jesus knew He'd be hanging from that. He knew He'd be speared. He knew He'd be spit at. And He did it for you, but He did it for a joy that His Father had set before Him beyond today. And I don't know what you're going against right now. I don't. But too often, I make a decision on something like this phone that makes me happy temporarily because I'm looking at today. This will make me feel good today. We do things in relationships that make us feel good today. Mom, we shoot things in our arm that make us feel good today. We lie to people today because then we can push off having to look at reality. We do all of these things because we aren't looking beyond today. Jesus did it, and can you? Amen? Close your eyes across this place. And Mom, as you're playing behind me, as we get ready for communion, and we're going to be singing this, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, FCC, I'm asking you today to look beyond today. Look beyond the hassles of today. Look beyond the snow that you have to move off of your walks at home or your driveway. Look past the bills that are in the mailbox that are making you sad today. Look past the decisions that you have to make in your life today that you think are the biggest decisions you've ever had to make, but in the grand scheme of things, they don't matter. Because I'm telling you this, there is a joy that is better than happiness. When you know Jesus Christ and He is your Savior, you can have all kinds of stuff happen around you. You can have death. You can have addiction. You can have people saying things about you. You can have all of this stuff. But inside, you can really say, I'm okay. I have joy. Because God, just like He did for Beth, sent Jesus to die for you so that you can have a joy that is better than anything. So even if you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death for every day for the rest of your life, God can greet you
with a thank God you're here, good and faithful servant. Wait till you see the joy I have for you. For those of you who are parents of kids out here like I am, I can get down and a little depressed every day when my daughters say someone called them chunky, or someone said they were stupid, or they saw someone being bullied. That makes me so mad. But I tell them the truth, that those things being said don't matter. The joy of the Lord matters. So today, whatever you're picturing in your mind that you're having to deal with, it has been all encompassing. It's been all weighing you down. It's taken every bit of happiness away. I'm telling you, that's okay. All that happiness can go because I have joy. Abide in Him. Don't chase Him down when you need Him. Rely on Him now. Abide in His Word. Start memorizing His Word. You can keep memorizing all those songs and commercials and things like that, but start memorizing His Word that will help you. And start looking beyond today. Amen. If you do that, you will find the true meaning of Christmas. And that's because you found the true meaning of joy. It's in Jesus' name we pray and proclaim this over your life. Can you say amen?